Thank you, Chris. Good morning, church. How are you today? Summer's just about over, isn't it? Well, I don't know if that's a disappointment or a hallelujah. They're going back to school or whatever, but we're going to have a great day in the house of the Lord today. Are you ready to worship Him today? Good. One person's already clapping. Let's give the Lord a clap offering and welcome Him to this place. I'm going to ask you, as you're doing that, if you would, to stand and honor the reading of God's Word. If you'd like to take out your copy of Scripture and turn to Matthew 26, verse 26, it'll be on the screen for you as well. If our guys, I asked them to put that up there at the last minute, if they can get it up there. If not, you can listen to me as I read from my copy of Scripture. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. We're going to celebrate the table of the Lord today. Hope you'll prepare your heart as we do that. Oh, you conquered, defeated. Your cross has completed the work you came to do. Sin's curse has been broken. Your blood is my portion. Jesus, I stand amazed. No longer a stranger, I am a partaker in God's redeeming plan. How can I keep silent? For God has provided. I lift up my voice and hands, the victory song, sung by the redeemed. All power and glory be unto you, the Lamb who was slain, once and for all. Yeah, once for all.
So
a victory song at least. Amen. Come on, put your hands today together. This is a celebration today. Let's sing.
Oh, come, celebrate the cross. His love has won our freedom. All that heaven's cost.
Oh,
that we might have salvation.
Oh,
open door to heaven. Jesus and the glory.
So well today, church. Thank you so much. You may be seated and turn your attention to the baptistry, please.
This is Jim Caldwell. Jim, have you trusted Christ to be your Savior?
Yes, I have.
In obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Bless you, God.
Church family, this is Danica Cox. Danica, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you today, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism unto death, and raised to walk in a brand new life. Bless you, dear. You did great.
This is Austin Ferguson. Austin, have you trusted Jesus to be your Savior?
Yes.
In obedience to His command, I baptize you, my little brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Well, it's always a good day in the house of the Lord when we see those baptismal waters stirred. Amen. God is doing wonderful things in our midst, and we're so delighted that you are here today to celebrate the table of the Lord. Pastor is going to come in just a few moments and lead us through that time, but we're also grateful for our guests being here today. Guests, welcome. I don't know if the young man, the server that Suzanne and I invited yesterday is here or not, but if you are, welcome. We're glad you're here. And no matter where you're from, if it's just your first time or many times, we want you to feel a part of us today. We don't want to praise the Lord for you. We want to praise the Lord with you. So you just enter in with us today and have a great time. As I say often, these are some of the most wonderful people God has ever assembled under one roof. And so you're in a safe, good place today. Yes, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. If you'll fill that out at some point, we'd love for you to drop that in the offering plate when it goes by in just a few moments. Again, welcome. It's going to be a good day. Really, really is. Would you stand right now, church family, everyone, greet three or four people around you there. Say, hi, my name is, and I'm glad you're here.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came.
After Jesus died and was raised from the dead, before he went to be with the Father in heaven and what is called the Ascension, he gave to us what we know as called the Great Commission. It was his last will and testament, his desire for your life and my life. And that is that we're to go into all of the world and make disciples of all the nations. That means try to win as many people as we can to Christ that we can win. And baptize them. Baptize them. And then teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, he said, when you do that, I will be with you wherever you may be. Now, my friend, we're a church that's very, very serious and committed to the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. This past month or so, I've been asked to lead a major effort within what we're a part of, which is called the Southern Baptist Convention, made up of some 50,000 churches and missions around America, 5,600 missionaries overseas, another 5,000 missionaries here in America, and 3,500 chaplains, and the list goes on and on and on, all across America and the world. The president of our convention has appointed what he calls a Great Commission Resurgence Task Force, where we would see a resurgence, a recommitment, a reawakening to taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, asking the group that I am now responsible for to examine everything that we do as a convention of churches, doing whatever it takes to alter whatever to get more people overseas, more people preaching, more people teaching. We're making a brand new commitment to the Great Commission. When I was asked to do that, I immediately knew that prayer would have to be a major part of that. And so I'm asking 5,000 people to join me in praying every day. And we have created a website that was launched last night. And I want to show you how you can be a part of that as a layperson. If you look at the back of your bulletin today, you can go to that website, PrayForGCR. That means Pray for a Great Commission Resurgence.com. And on the front of that website, you'll see the page that you see right now up on the screen, if they have it on the screen. And you'll notice to the far right, there are three commitments that we're asking people to do. Commitment number one, I will commit to pray daily for the members of the Great Commission Resurgence Task Force and for God's leadership to be upon them mightily, making his direction clear for them. Number two, I will commit to pray daily for a Great Commission Resurgence to occur in my life. That means your life, my church. That's our church. We need that in our own church. And through the 50,000 churches and missions in our convention. And thirdly, I will commit to pray daily for a Great Commission Resurgence to occur the leaders of and through the entities of the Southern Baptist Convention, which we have 12 major entities that comprise our convention. So folks, I need your help. I need you to go home today and I need you to flood that website. We opened it up last night. We already have over 500 people, just under 600 people before I walked out here. Basically, that was accomplished through Twitter and a few emails that went out. I need thousands of you to join us. There's no reason in the world why a church like ours could not have at least 1,000 of you to join us on this. You can pray. You care about reaching people with the gospel. You can do it. It's real simple. All you do is just make one click, and you'll see a sign that says commit to pray. Bring up the next slide today, and then you'll simply go to the final slide, which is those three commitments, and you commit to pray. You give your first name, last name, email, city, where you live, and you try to interpret what's on the screen, and they sign you up, and you become there. All right? Will you do that? It's significant, and it is important. The gospel needs to be taken to the ends of the earth. Now, folks, that's why we give every Sunday here. When we entered July, we were 1% above our budget. Now that we're through July, we're 2.4% behind our budget. July was not friendly to the giving of our church, even though our attendance was up over last year in July. So please come alongside of us. Let's catch back up. I told Gina, I said, listen, we need to give more today. And we need to do what we can to help this church in whatever capacity. So please, 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 make up if you've been gone. We need some of you to come along big time. Please help us. It's a very, very important time in the life of our fellowship. Now, Father, I thank you today for Jesus and what he's done in our lives. And I thank you that you have called us to a great commission. And I pray that you will be honored through our giving today. Please raise up an army of prayer warriors all across America and the world. I pray, Father, that you would raise this church up to a greater commitment to reaching the lost and the dying more than ever before. That we will plant more churches worldwide than we've ever planted. That we'll send more people overseas than we've ever sent. And that we will reach more people in Northwest Arkansas than we've ever reached. That whatever the cost, whatever the price, I pray we'll be willing to pay that price. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You'll recognize the text to this song. It's a familiar hymn. I trust it'll refocus you on these great lyrics as you prepare your heart to take the Lord's Supper. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God.
Sweet Lamb of God. just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because I promise I be. To be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, O Lamb of God, I come to thee.
Realizing that the summer has a way to distract us from so many things in life. And realizing that even though we may have been engaged along life, somehow we can somewhat disengage at times from our spiritual journey that we're on with God. And I really wanted us today to focus in on having the Lord's Supper on this particular day. And I want to challenge you today out of a passage of Scripture over in the third chapter of the book of Revelation. And I want to read two verses out of that chapter. I'm not going to talk about it in detail. I just want us to hear it. And from there, I want to launch into sharing with you some ways to prepare your heart for today. Do you remember what Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, to Christian men and women like you and me? He said these words in Revelation 3, 15 and 16. He said, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. That passage is a very challenging and a perplexing passage in the Scripture. I'm not sure any one person understands it completely, but I do believe I understand the principle. And the principle is that Jesus wants us in our spiritual life either to be on fire or to be as cold as cold. That he would rather for us to be on fire or as cold than to be in the middle, playing it safe, putting our spiritual lives on cruise control, operating with a level of mediocrity. You see, when you're lukewarm, you're in the middle. When you're lukewarm, even if it's a cup of coffee or a glass of water, you don't like that taste. You want to spit it out of your mouth. Jesus said, there will be a day that I will do the same. And he challenged every one of us not to live a lukewarm lifestyle. Now, obviously, the preference is clear. He wants us to be hot for the Lord. He wants us to be on fire for Christ. He wants our passion and our faith to be alive and well and growing and full of energy and full of life. That's what He wants it to be. Yet through life, we get pulled in all kinds of ways. And before we know it, it doesn't matter how good of intention we have, we're right back in the middle of that lukewarm state. There's a book that I came across that God has used greatly in my life. It's a book called Crazy Love, written by a pastor in California by the name of Francis Chan. In chapter 4 of the book, he wrote on this whole element of what it means to be a lukewarm Christian. I thought perhaps his words would be helpful today for you and for me to evaluate our lives. Do you consider yourself on fire for God? Full of passion, full of life? Or could you be that lukewarm believer out here, kind of passive, in the middle, full of mediocrity? Listen to what Chan calls it. And perhaps today, would you let the Holy Spirit speak to you in your life as we prepare to sit at the table of our Lord today? This is what he writes. He says, lukewarm people attend church fairly regularly. It's what's expected of them. And it's what they believe that good Christians should do. So they go. Lukewarm people give money to charity and to the church as long as it doesn't impinge on their standard of living. Lukewarm people tend to choose what is popular over what is right when they are in conflict. Lukewarm people don't really want to be saved from their sin. They only want to be saved from the penalty of their sin. Lukewarm people are moved by stories about people who do radical things for Christ, yet they do not act. Lukewarm people rarely share their faith with their neighbors, co-workers, or friends. Lukewarm people gauge their morality or goodness by comparing themselves to the secular world. Lukewarm people say they love Jesus and He is indeed a part of their lives, but only part. Lukewarm people love God, but they do not love Him with all their heart, soul, and strength. Lukewarm people love others, but do not seek to love others as much as they love themselves. Lukewarm people will serve God and others, but there are limits to how far they will go or how much time, money, and energy they are willing to give. Lukewarm people think about life on earth much more than eternity in heaven. Lukewarm people are thankful for their luxuries and comforts and rarely consider trying to give as much as possible to the poor. Lukewarm people do what is ever necessary to keep themselves from feeling too guilty. Lukewarm people are continually concerned with playing it safe. They are slaves to the God of control. Lukewarm people feel secure because they attend church, made a profession of faith at age 12, were baptized, come from a Christian family, vote Republican, or live in America. Lukewarm people do not live by faith. Their lives are structured to where they never have to Lukewarm people probably drink or swear less than the average. But besides that, they really aren't very different from your typical unbeliever. I wonder today, when you look at yourself in light of those things, are you lukewarm? Is there an element of lukewarmness in our lives that maybe we've gotten so comfortable with? And what we need today is for God to come into our hearts, and I mean plow that ground up. I mean, root it up, and to do everything possible to get our hearts once again a little more tender for God and a little more powerful and a little more spiritual and a little more on fire for the Lord. Remember what Jesus said? I wish you were hot or I wish you were cold rather than being lukewarm. And most of us, we think it's cool and we think it's vogue to be in the middle of everything. And yet Jesus said, I don't want people that's in the middle. I want people blazing with their hearts on fire for me. What about you, friend? You realize that we're about to take the Lord's Supper? Do you realize that you're about to have the privilege to sit at the table of the Lord? And could you imagine if some prestigious individual on this earth asked you to come and sit at their table? You would do everything you could do to get yourself ready, have the proper attire on, have the proper attitude, the proper demeanor, the proper behavior. You'd want to make sure the etiquette book has been studied. I mean, you're ready. But yet today, so much greater than that is that God, through His Son Jesus, is asking you to come and to dine with Him and to sit at His table and remember that He died for you. And that should never breed mediocrity into our hearts. That should light our hearts on fire. And so I ask you in the name of Jesus today, would you do something that maybe you haven't done in a while? Will you just pause and evaluate? Stop and evaluate. I want you to bow your heads together all across the room. Those of you at Pinnacle Hills, would you bow together with me? And as your head is bowed, wherever you may be, would you ask God to forgive you of any lukewarmness in your heart? Lack of love, lack of passion, lack of fire, lack of zeal. Would you prepare your heart right now to be at the table? Just before I walked out today, I took the scripture and I opened up Psalm 51. And on my knees in my office, I read that to the Lord. Oh Lord, blot out all my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart. Renew my spirit. Oh, Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus Would you do what is necessary in our lives to develop a blazing passion for God? If age, our experiences, have dampened that fire, I pray that you will make that fire alive again. If disappointments or discouragement have dampened that, we pray that you would remove that, and I pray that you would help us to once again have the kind of love for Christ that we need. Oh, Jesus, light us up with the fire of the Holy Spirit today. Cleanse us from all of our sin, the sins we know, the sins we don't know. Wash us clean. Make us, Lord, as white as snow. As our men prepare to give out the elements, I pray that we will receive them today in the name of Jesus. And while our men pass the elements today, we prepare our hearts in prayer and we prepare our hearts in worship.
The cross.
You know, the passage over in Corinthians about the Lord's Supper in chapter 11 really challenges us in so many ways. But do you realize that one of those scriptures there says that as long as we drink of the cup and we eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes? I want you to think about that for a moment. That means in a moment, when we eat of the bread, you are testifying, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. And when you drink of the juice, you're saying, Jesus died for me. He died for me. He died for me. Because we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes every time we eat of the bread and we drink of the cup. And Lord, we thank you today for your body which has been given to us. And we thank you that this bread represents that body. And today we eat of it, proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes, doing it in remembrance of you. Amen. And this cup, O Lord, comprises that which represents, symbolizes the blood of Jesus. And we thank you today that when we drink of this in a moment, that we are proclaiming your death. That it was by and is by the blood of Christ that our sins are forgiven. And for that we say thank you. And we not only proclaim the Lord's death, but we also today, we drink this in remembrance of you. Amen.